If you will take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 119, Psalm 119, and we will be looking at the passage that includes those words that we just sang. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's the King James version of it. And as I think back about this particular section, this is probably the most well-known section of Psalm 119. This is the bait section. That's the B sound in the Hebrew alphabet. And every verse begins with that letter. I haven't looked at the Hebrew. I probably couldn't pronounce most of it if I tried. Now, and as I said, this is a passage that is very familiar. The first three verses, verses 9 through 11, were assigned memory requirements in many, many Bible classes, it seems, that I've had. Certainly in our Bible doctrines class way back in at Bob Jones, we had to memorize Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Seems that I had to memorize it in Sunday school, too. It's a very, very familiar, very important passage, and one that teaches along an eternal truth. So let's go ahead and read this passage. Our title is Cleansing Our Way Before the Lord. Let's go ahead and read the passage. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. So the first question about this passage is, who is the young man in view here? How can a young man keep his way pure? Derek Kidner, whose very pithy commentary on the Psalms I very much like, suggests that the young man is the psalmist himself. The many prayers recorded in this psalm make it personal. And Kidner says he is praying rather than preaching. Now, before we think about the prayers in this section, let's ask this question. What kind of man has this kind of interest in God's Word? Now, it's interesting. We've had visitors in our services, it seems like, almost every Sunday this summer, and I'm grateful that they come. But it's interesting to notice when somebody comes without hardly any church background, and the things they say to me after the service. They seem polite, they seem grateful for what we've done in a sense, but it sounds, when they respond, I sort of think they're not getting what is being said. Sometimes I've said, I enjoyed that presentation. And it's like, it's not a presentation. Others, well, thanks for the nice talk. It's not a nice talk. Now, I'm glad they come, but more than anything else, I wish that their hearts would open, that they would hear with hearing ears, and that a real change would take place. If they did that, they would become this young man. This young man is the way he is because he's redeemed. His interests are those of the redeemed. He's interested in cleansing. He's interested in his spiritual benefit, that his life would be cleaned up. He's interested in the cleanser, the one who can clean. And he's interested in the cleansing agent, the Bible, the Word of God. So if you are redeemed, you are interested in the same things. Now, how can we say this? When I was a young Christian, I would read the Bible sporadically. And I never read it with distaste, but not with daily enthusiasm. Now, throughout my life, there have been periods when I have a regular set, regular Bible reading daily, almost every day. I hardly ever miss a day. Then there's other times when I've been busy and occupied with other things, and so there's varying degrees of maturity. Now, in the last several years, I've found that reading the Bible is something that is almost absolutely necessary every day. There are still days where you miss. Sometimes your schedule's out of whack. You can't quite follow everything the way you would. And there is a sense that you feel like I've missed that one thing that's so essential. By the time you get to the end of the day, you realize you haven't read your Bible. One of the things I've been doing in the last while is to keep a notebook. I put the date down. I put the readings down. Now, I'm following one of our Bible reading schedules. I write down all the passages I'm going to read. Then I put a couple of sentences about something that I read that day. It doesn't have to be profound. It's just something. And what that does for me is it creates evidence that I actually did something. And so then I'll come up to it. And sometimes, like in our recent travels, there were several days where I just wasn't able to work it into the schedule the way everything was going. Perhaps I was too lazy getting up and too slow, and we had to go somewhere. And so I would miss. And then you see, here's the date. Oh, here's today's date. And what I do is I write down the dates that I missed. I just write down the date. That's it. And sometimes I write an excuse. Okay? You're like, sometimes on Sundays is a very busy day, so I'll write Sunday. I allow myself to skip certain days in the month in my schedule. So Sunday, that's to me is a valid excuse. Okay? You might say, well, preacher, Sunday, that's the day you should be in the scriptures. Well, that's true, but, you know, usually I'm standing up here preaching and I feel like I am in the scriptures. So that's my excuse. Okay? But what this does for me, this wasn't in my notes, but what this does for me is it gives me accountability with myself. Nobody else looks at it, and I certainly don't want my wife checking up and seeing whether or not I'm on track or not. But you know that I found that in my own walk in recent years, this has become the delight of my day, to be starting my day with the Word of God. Now, I like to read lots of things, but I want to start, if I can only read one thing, then let me read my Bible. And I have other things I read too, but I've got to start with that. Anyway, that's what this young man is after. A redeemed person is interested in this. When you read these verses, they resonate with your heart because this is what a redeemed person wants. He wants cleansing. He wants to know the cleanser. He wants to let the Word of God soak into his soul. And so here's the proposition for this message. Salvation delights in God's Word and steadily conforms to what it says, cleansing one's ways, growing in the Lord. And so this is what we're going to be talking about today. We're talking about what redemption produces. This passage is not directly about redemption, obviously. Like sometimes when in my communion series, I've preached about something, about what Christ has done for us in terms of the sacrifice he gave for us and so on and so forth, the resurrection, the eternal life, and so forth. But what this is about is when God changes your life, when God redeems you, there's a change in your heart, and you have this kind of interest. You're interested in cleansing your ways. You're interested in the Lord. You're interested in his Word. These are the things that you want. And so, this passage starts in verse 9 with the question of sanctification. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. So the question and answer. What is the concern? The concern is for the way. He wants to keep his way pure. He wants to live a holy life as he goes on for the Lord. So what he says, how can I do this? Well, then by keeping it, by putting boundaries around his way according to your word. He's going to let the Word of God become the hedgerows that keep him on the road. A recent trip to England, you can hardly go anywhere without running into hedgerows somewhere. Hedges 12 feet tall, narrow one-lane roads, 60-mile-an-hour speed limits, right-angle turns. It's awesome. Now, you can't lose your way because the only thing is somebody could be coming the other way. You just have to be aware where the wide spots are and be prepared to hit the brakes quick. Come up to those turns. I mean, I just think it's thrilling. The other members of the family do not find this enjoyment, but the hedgerows keep you in the way. Like, you're not going somewhere else. You meet another vehicle coming the other way, you can't, there's nowhere to go. Somebody's got to back up to the nearest wide spot. And depending on how aggressive you are, you might force the other guy to back up, or he might force you to back up, but whatever. But it keeps you, the Word of God is the hedgerow that keeps you in the pure way. So that's the first thing, the question of sanctification. The second thing, the heart of growing faith, verse 10 and 11. So, with all my heart, I have sought you. And then he says, your word I have treasured in my heart. So, the heart of growing faith, if you want to, this is what God does for you when you believe in him. Your heart is warmed. John Wesley, when he recounted his salvation experience, used the terms, my heart was strangely warmed at the preaching of God's word. Now, he had been religious. He was raised in a clergyman's home. He knew the scriptures. He would debate the scriptures. He was a part of what they called at Oxford the Holy Club, right? They were all trying to rigorously live a certain kind of Christian life. According, they were treating the Bible as a law book. And so then they came to they heard a message. And Wesley says, my heart was strangely warmed in hearing the Word of God. Well, this is what happens when somebody's redeemed. They give their heart to God and their heart becomes sensitive, gains a taste and a delight in the things of God, the things that God's Word says. It's a matter of deep interest. You know, we went through this morning a very technical message. In a certain sense, I don't like to give those kind of messages because I'm afraid that people will lose track with me. Okay? So I'm afraid of that. But on the other hand, I mean, I'd love to get into that. I love to work my way through the scriptures and see how a theme develops and is supported and interlinked from various narratives and prophetic and poetic and epistolary passages throughout the scriptures and how they're all tied together with this message that we have from God's Word. There's a delight in that to my heart. And I hope that as you grow in the Lord, that you just, these things become things that are like a wonderful spiritual meal when you hear the Word of God in that way. And so when you have this kind of a heart, the Word of God is the thing that you treasure. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. So there is this valuing, this elevation of the Scriptures. Again, Kidner here, he makes a comment and says, Proverbs 2, 10 through 12 and Colossians 3, 16 show that the mind which stores up Scripture has its taste and judgment educated by God. Okay, now it's fine to have an education. It's fine to learn how to read and write. It's fine to learn about our natural world and the science and the history and the geography and all those topics that you can learn. All of those things are important. All right, but the mind that's educated by the Word of God is absolutely critical. He mentions these two passages, so I'll read them, and I think you'll see how they fit in with what we're saying here from Psalm 119. I didn't put them on the screen, but here's Proverbs 2, 10 through 12. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. So, the heart that has a taste for the Word of God as learns judgment by his being educated by God. And then Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. These passages echo the themes that we hear here in Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11. And then the last thing that we want to note here, the growing commitment to stored treasures, verses 12 to 16. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes, the prayer for more. Presumably, this believer has already encountered the Word, yet the Spirit working in his heart produces a desire for more. You know, I look at passages, I preach through certain passages. Sometimes, you know, I'll listen. By the way, I've heard guys preaching on a passage, and it's good preaching. It's a passage I've preached before. And what it makes me want to do is to preach it again. We were in Wales there, and there's several different preachers. They asked me to preach one Sunday. And then on Wednesday nights, there's one of the deacons in the church. He's about the same age as me. He has been a pastor, but he's a sheep farmer. And he's been doing Hebrews. And he just started doing Hebrews, I think. He was in Hebrews 1:1. And I listened to him preaching that on the Wednesday night, just going through it. Now, he is much more reserved than I am. He's a wonderful man of God. I was listening to him. I said, man, I'd like to preach that verse all over again. You know, and it was so good. I went back and just after we left, he was scheduled to do the next section. I went back and the other day I was listening to him online, listening to him give that message. It was just such a blessing to hear a man preaching that. And then I want to go back and preach it some more, even if I've been through it once. Right? That's what I'm trying to say. So I think that, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. If you have a heart warmed by redemption, you want God's word and you want more of it. And you want it again. There's just this desire. The recitation of Bible lessons, verse 13, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. The person who has a heart that is for God's word because of his redemption is a person who meditates on God's word. With all my heart I have sought you, your word I have treasured in my heart. So it begins with memorization, but it's going to produce recitation. It's going to produce the language, the conversation that speaks that word out to other people. Doesn't mean you have to be preaching to people. It means that just simply in your heart, the truth of God's word will overwhelm. And somebody says something that's not correct, not according to the Bible, you will want to tell them the Bible so that they could be corrected. They don't always receive it, but that's what you will want to do. I'm going to I'm going to leave verse 14 to the end, but verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I call this point the concentration of the mind. And I thought, that's a familiar phrase. Where does that come from? It actually comes from something that Samuel Johnson is supposed to have said. Now, Samuel Johnson wrote a famous English dictionary. I think we saw a copy of that somewhere in one of these houses. I'm pretty sure Rory pointed it out to me, of Samuel Johnson's dictionary. And it was sort of the definitive dictionary of the English language in the 1700s. He was a very flamboyant, unique individual, Samuel Johnson. All right? And there was a clergyman named Dodd who was sentenced to hang for a loan scam. Now, the guy was guilty. He had cheated somebody else out of money, and he was sentenced to hang. That seemed a little harsh. It seems a little harsh today. Seemed a little harsh to Samuel Johnson. So he wrote an appeal to the court in Dodd's name, in this clergyman's name, as if the man had written it. And many suspected that the appeal came from someone else because the language was so polished. And some suspected Johnson. So Johnson's biographer asked him about it, and he denied it, saying, "Depend upon it, sir, when a man knows he is to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully." So he was able to write in such a style because he knew his life depended on it. Well, it didn't work. The man was hanged anyway. All right. But here, I just had to throw that in because of the phrase. Here, the concentration of the mind, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. One concentrates. The believer thinks about these things, not because he's about to hang, but because he's been redeemed. That God has, all of a sudden, these words have precious value. They teach truth. We want the words. We want to think about the words. We want to think about them in our daily life. And so the concentration of the mind. And then verses 14 and 16 together, I want to do it in that order, the joy of the word. So two words for joy. In verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. This is a joy of festival and exaltation. And then 16, I shall delight in your statutes. This is the joy, the settled joy of sitting at peace at home. All right? I shall delight in your statutes. It's the joy, you might have that when you read your Bible in the morning as you're getting up. And you just have a time of peace and you're reading the Word of God. You will delight in the statutes. All of these things, the joy is in the believer's heart. It is a product of salvation. Kidner again says, this is not merely the scholar's pleasure, but a disciple's whose joy is in obedience. The disciple takes in the word, wants to live it out. His life has been changed. And so again, the proposition as we close. Salvation delights in God's word and steadily conforms to what it says, cleansing one's ways, growing in the Lord. May the Lord bless this meditation on this psalm. And as we partake in the communion, may we reflect on what God's redemption has done for us. And if you are redeemed, this word of God should be a precious possession to you, something that you delight in. I think the fact that you are here, hearing the word of God, speaks to your redeemed spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to have this service, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, honoring the Word, thinking about what He's done for us in our salvation. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to make the Word of God the guide and beacon of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.